The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USD has hired Lincoln Riley. Oh, yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rant of Troy Radio, episode 503, coming to you on Monday, September 11th. We're going to look back at USC's big win over the Stanford Cardinal, 56-10 at the Coliseum. Look back, talk about the big moments a little bit further, and so much more. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Rant of Troy. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Rant of Troy. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Spotify. I would say Stitcher, but I just found out Stitcher doesn't exist anymore. So not Stitcher, but everywhere else, including YouTube, where we are live right now. Our email address is randoftroy@fansided.com, and our phone number, 818-643-7227.
Suck It with Spruance Show.
Yeah, I'm your host, Michael Castillo, joined along with my co-host here in the Rant of Troy studio in Los Angeles, Alicia Deratola.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Big shout-out to everybody joining us here on a Monday early evening, as we always are. I saw Cigar was in here super early. Welcome. Ernesto's here. Raymond Murdy's here. Serious Drama is here. Bring in the Serious Drama. We got Randy. We got Kenny. We got Fighting on MC. The list goes on and on. A bunch of people here in the house. And we appreciate all of you joining us. A little bye week updates on scheduling. We will not have a normal episode on Wednesday because there is no game to preview this upcoming week. USC doesn't play anybody. There's no game on Saturday.
USC left us hanging in the worst week of the year for college football in terms of exciting matchups, and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, you are getting lots of love in the chat. Multiple people saying Alicia is the best. No love for me. Randy says Michael would be the best if it wasn't for his food takes. Wow. So no respect over here. But let's talk about the programming note that we wanted to pass along for the podcast for the next week or so. Tonight, of course, whenever you're listening to this, this is our USC Stanford Fallout episode. Wednesday night, no main show at 5 p.m. Pacific on YouTube. However, there will be a members-only show Wednesday night, 9 p.m., members only, right after dark, and it's going to be a special bi-week game show edition. We're going to play a game show. We're so pumped about it. We love these sort of things. We're going to play only Skanect. One of me and Alicia's favorite games ever is Only Connect, a British game show. And we've made a USC version that we can't wait to play with you guys.
Calling it a game show is not doing it justice, mostly because it's very much... When you say game show, you think of like wacky, wild fun. This is a quiz show.
Yeah,
this is a quiz show that is designed to stump you.
Yeah.
And it does. But when you know what's going... When you get the connection... Oh boy, do you feel like the smartest person in the world? It's my favorite thing ever.
Yeah. So if you're a member of the Rot Squad, which you can do, and you can join us here on YouTube, hit the join button right underneath the screen here. You can join us for $4.99 a month. You get all of our bonus content, including access to the Discord, and you get to potentially be a contestant if you want to on Wednesday night. It's going to be fun. I'm going to challenge Alicia. She's going to challenge me. And then it's up to the Rotbots to see who wants to be challenged and who wants to play along. So it'll be really fun on Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Members only after dark. So mark your calendars now. Then next week, same schedule as always. We'll be back here Monday night, 5 p.m. Pacific, on Monday, September 18th. We're going to call it a quarter season review because SC is at the first quarter poll. Three games in, three wins down. The Trojans are halfway to bowl eligibility. We're going to look back at the three games and hang out here and talk more USC football as always, followed by Wednesday next week previewing the ASU game. And then next Thursday night is the standard 9 p.m. Pacific run after dark for members only. And then followed by the CarCast next Saturday night after USC and ASU. So not this Saturday, but next Saturday. So that's where we're going. That's the plan. What's up with you?
What's up with me?
Yeah, what's up with you?
It's been a busy day. I already did a podcast today. This is my second podcast of the day. You all can find me on the False Start podcast when that episode drops. So that's what's been going on.
Did you start it on time though? Because it's a False Start pod. Like do you have to start slightly delayed?
Does it count if it got rescheduled twice?
Then it might be a delay of game.
Yeah, pod. Delay of game podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So go listen to that. Go listen to the False Start pod with Alicia joining Cody Williams. It's a good listen. Absolutely. So before we get to the news, which there is a little bit of news, we want to let you know that you can help grow the show by signing up to DraftKings. Have you done it yet? If you're a new user, you can get $150 in bonus bets instantly. They're following just three steps: create an account, deposit, and then wager $5 on any sport. Whether your first wager wins or loses, you'll still receive $150 in bonus bets. All you have to do is use the code RAINOFTROY when you sign up. And the best part is using that code, RAINOFTROY, all one word, not only gets you the bonus, but helps support this podcast, this very one, the one you're watching right now. So if you're considering signing up for DraftKings, definitely use our code RAINOFTROY to maximize your first bet. The offer, of course, only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Alicia, when would that be advantageous?
That might be when you're gearing up for a road trip to Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
In a couple,
I think
of
Colorado.
Weeks.
I think is Colorado? One too.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah. Please remember to always gamble responsibly, and of course, check the episode description for the full terms of the offer. Travel with the Trojans the next couple weeks and join DraftKings. Use the promo code RAINOFTROY. Help support the show. Alicia, there's a lot of news to get to. Let's do that, shall we?
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we got to start with the first news. The poll, the new AP poll is out, and the Trojans have moved on up to number 5. USC is after Georgia, number 1, 55 first place votes. Then there's Big Blue, Michigan, number 2, with 2 first place votes, followed by the Noles at number 3, Florida State, with 3 first place votes. Texas, fresh off their win in Tuscaloosa over Alabama, sits at number 4. And that means USC is number 5, the top team without a first place vote. Does this mean best of the rest? Is SC McLaren now? I think it is.
Depending on the weekend, that's either a good or a bad thing.
that's valid. But SC is the highest ranked Pac-12 team, which is noteworthy because, Alicia, there are now 8 Pac-12 teams ranked. Every Pac-12 team that is undefeated is ranked, all 8 of them. SC is number 5. Washington is 8. Utah, 12. Oregon, 13. Oregon State, 16. Colorado, 18. 23 is Wazoo. And 24, UCLA. Look at that. The Pac-12 setting records literally right at the death.
Yes, and this is the sad thing about the dissolution of the Pac-12 as we know it, is that there was never a reason why the Pac-12 couldn't be a very strong conference. There was never a reason why it couldn't be very competitive.
Yeah.
It's just that teams on an individual level all dropped the ball collectively for years and years and years and years. And now everybody's doing great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope people still have this energy in a few weeks when the Pac-12 cannibalizes itself and
you end up
with everybody with 2 losses and doesn't then become like an, oh, actually the Pac-12 sucks. Like, no, it's that there's a lot of good teams in the Pac-12 and it's hard to it's hard to win and everybody's going to beat each other and it's going to be a thing.
I'm hoping though that when that inevitably starts to happen, because everyone has to play each other, right? That at least if teams are ranked at the beginning, you can start doing the thing that the SEC does. And like, well, that was a ranked team. It was a ranked. Washington State lost to Oregon State, but hey, they were ranked.
But it's frustrating to me that it took the Pac-12 breaking apart for people to start to recognize that Oregon State and Washington State have been competitive teams the entire damn time. And like, not the whole time, but like, but Oregon State under Mike Riley was a competitive team and then they fell off, but they weren't given their due then. It's good that they're getting their due now under Jonathan Smith. It just sucks that like it's when they're at their worst possible sort of situation, but that's what can you do? You can't do anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And for SC, if you're wanting to go to the playoff. There's a million teams on the schedule, as Ricky D points out in the chat, that are going to be on SC's schedule the rest of the way, who are ranked. You got Washington, Utah, Oregon, Colorado, and of course UCLA is there. Oh, and then Notre Dame, by the way, which I believe is at 7. So, it is absolutely loaded for USC's schedule. Plenty of opportunities to go forward. SC being 5th right now doesn't really matter. Who cares? I think we talked about in the CarCast, it seems like the right spot for SC to be at. For all intents and purposes, SC hasn't played anybody. Florida State and Texas have the two biggest wins of the college football season. It makes sense where things are. It's week 3. We can sit here and wait and see how things go.
Yes, the one good thing is that there was a chance that USC's game, and we're going to talk about the timing of games and all this kind of stuff, but USC's first two games were on Pac-12 Network. USC's third game was a 7:30 kickoff, Pacific. There was a chance that the old adage of like the East Coast doesn't know what USC is up to could have fallen through. But what we saw happen was USC leap over Ohio State, which is as much a rebuke of Ohio State and their lackluster start to the season as it is a promotion of USC. But there are many, many years in the past where that would have never happened based on USC beating San Jose State, Nevada, and Stanford.
Yeah.
So, take that for what it is. USC is getting some respect in those polls.
Yeah, because they are beating the crap out of these last two these last two games. And they've done it in a way that the good teams are supposed to do. And that helps. That absolutely helps. Let's talk about the other news that came out on Monday. Of course, it is the Monday before the week before. 12 days before every game, of course, is the big draft. The big draft for game times. How is it going to funnel out? And drumroll, please. We knew this game was going to be at 7:30 because it's a game in the state of Arizona on the road, and it lands on Big Fox. USC and Arizona State. 2 weeks next Saturday, September 23rd, 7:30 p.m. on Big Fox. Your thoughts?
My thoughts is, if you thought it was going to be at any other time besides 7:30, I do not know what you've been watching.
You could have bought airfare months ago.
Yeah.
It was always going to be at 7:30.
September games against Arizona and ASU
on the road
are always 7:30 kickoffs.
It's a lock.
Those teams just don't play before 7:30 because it is scorching hot in the desert, and no one wants to have players on a field where it's 120 degrees on the field, on the playing surface. This was always going to be it. I don't know why every time we have to have this long, involved conversation where I feel like people are completely and utterly misunderstanding how scheduling works, how TV partners works, how the TV draft works, how all of this works. I don't know why we have to keep having these conversations, but apparently we have to keep having these conversations.
Yeah, so the way it works is, 12 days, however many days before, the week before, the Monday before, there is a draft. All the TV partners get in and they draft the games. There is an order of those drafts that is contractually very confusing, but basically the best time slots get the first pick, right? So like, what is the best draft spot? It's probably like big noon kickoff, right? Or it's the primetime ABC game, whatever it is. And it changes from week to week, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever, they go from there all the way down to like the worst time, which is 11 a.m. or 8 p.m. on the Pac-12 network. From there all the way to the bottom.
Yeah.
And as it goes down slot by slot, they draft the games. And so the things that make a time slot more valuable is the time itself and then the channel it's on. SC playing at 7:30. is advantageous because there's not that many other games on at 7:30 p.m. Pacific, based on how geography works. But more importantly, the game is on Big Fox terrestrial TV. You can tune in with your bunny ears. Your Aunt Judy is able to pick this up on her, and your aunt that lives in the country or something, who can watch this one with bunny ears. That makes it more valuable. That's how it works. But I know you have a rant scheduled, so I'm not going to stop you. Just go for it.
Okay. Yes, that's how it works. And guess what? That's how it will continue to work in the Big Ten.
Uh-oh.
I saw a lot of USC fans piling on. This is why we're leaving the Pac-12. Like, the Pac-12 has a vendetta against USC. They don't want USC on primetime. All this, like, this is all the Pac-12 doing. This is not the Pac-12's doing. Number one, in this particular instance, this is not the Pac-12's doing. USC could be in the ACC or the MWPCC, whatever mega conference comes out of anything else, and this would still be a 7:30 game. Because you do not play games earlier than that in Tempe, Arizona in September. But let's talk about the Pac-12 versus the Big Ten or anything like that in the future. I am not arguing that the Pac-12 network is a good network, or that the Pac-12 media deal was a good deal, or that the Pac-12 TV partners were better than the Big Ten. There's a reason USC is going to the Big Ten. It's to make more money because the partners are better, the slots are better, all of that kind of stuff. Those advantages are not under debate. Having said that, if you think that the Big Ten picked up USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon with Fox paying extra money to add in Washington and Oregon, and they are not going to take advantage of the 7:30 or 8 o'clock Pacific time slot, you are kidding yourself. USC will continue to play late games when they are in the Big Ten, because USC is a West Coast product that will allow the Big Ten to tap into the magic that the Pac-12 tapped into, which was after dark. Big Ten after dark, as Ernesto in the chat says. Big Ten after dark will be a thing, because you don't add the West Coast schools if you don't want to take advantage of an additional time slot.
They might be more valuable, too, because the Pac-12 will not exist. Is no longer there.
You're the only show.
Who are you competing against?
You're the only show in town, except for the Big 12, that I guarantee you ESPN is going to try and take advantage of that with their deals with those conferences. I am not talking about USC playing Ohio State. USC Ohio State is a primetime game that's going to be on at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern, or in one of the primetime slots. Maybe even big noon kickoff, so be prepared for potentially 9 a.m. games, which are not advantageous to USC at all. But if we're talking about the 7:30 or 8 o'clock time slot in the Pacific time zone, they want product in those slots. Fox, with their Fox and FS1 channels, wants football games with good brands in those time slots so that they can make money off of having those time slots get good ratings.
Right.
So that they can sell those time slots to advertisers. If you think that USC, UCLA isn't going to be on that channel, USC, Washington isn't going to be on FS1 at 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, you think USC, Oregon, or USC, Nevada, when or whatever future week non-conference opponents that USC plays, that all of those games won't be, well, not all of them, but a lot of those games won't be in the late time slot. You are kidding yourself. This is about Fox and FS1 as their additional arm. They have a slot at 9 a.m. Pacific. They have a slot at 1 p.m. Pacific. They have a slot at 5 p.m. Pacific. They want that 8 o'clock slot as well. Four is better than three in terms of games you can put on national television on Fox or FS1. And also, I've seen from The Athletic and Awful Announcing did a thing about how they're gonna want to put these games on the Big Ten Network too. So, like, USC will continue to play at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a thing that's going to end when you go to the Pac-12. And this is where my rant really begins.
Uh-oh.
Why are USC fans so resistant to the 7:30 kickoff? They are living in the past, being resistant to the 7:30 kickoff. Here's the thing, guys. What time does Ohio State play when they're in primetime?
I believe that would be 8 p.m. locally.
8 p.m. locally. Yeah. Those fans go to their stadium and watch their football game at 8 p.m. locally. USC kicking off at 7:30 or 8 p.m. in the past has been historically a disadvantage. Because, yes, when you kick off at 7:30, it's 10:30 on the East Coast. East Coast viewers aren't watching. A lot of them are asleep. And in the past, when your ability to compete for national titles was dependent on voters in the AP making their votes so that they would decide who would be in, who would be involved in a national title game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it mattered if people weren't staying up for your game, if voters weren't staying up for your game. But guess what? It's 2023. Number one, social media has made it easier than ever for you to get exposure no matter what. You didn't have to stay up until 11 o'clock Eastern time to watch USC play Stanford to then wake up on Sunday morning and have Caleb Williams highlights all over your timeline. Number two, the AP poll is not a thing anymore that matters. The College Football Playoff Committee, it's their job to watch these games. It doesn't matter if USC kicks off at 10 p.m. Eastern, at 1 a.m. Eastern, at 5 a.m. Eastern, whatever time Eastern, it doesn't matter. There is a committee of people whose job it is to watch games. Pat Hayden used to talk about how he would watch games on Sunday on the treadmill that he had recorded from the day before. It doesn't matter what time the game airs from a competitive standpoint in terms of making sure that you get into a playoff or into a game or a bowl or anything like that. That's all stuff from the past. Put it away. In the words of Kylo Ren, let it die. Let the past die. It's okay for USC to be playing at 7:30 Pacific. It's fine. Embrace it. Night games are wonderful. I get it if you have kids, and I get it if you live on the East Coast, for you not to be not on board with this. Everybody else, get over it. Embrace it. After dark is fine. It's good. It's not a detriment to USC. It's not going to hurt USC anymore. That's my rant.
Yeah, there's two parts of the argument. I think there's people who don't like the game because of what time it is on the East Coast, for two reasons. One, because the idea that the voters are not going to see it or something. Don't care about the voters. The voters, like you said, it's literally their job to watch the freaking games. It's their job to, if they didn't watch it live, to watch it on Matthew Loves Ball on YouTube. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's their job to watch the game. Number two, the only people I truly have sympathy for are the SC fans on the East Coast, mm-hmm. Having to stay up late. That sucks. But at the same time, staying up until 1 a.m. to watch your favorite college football team, in my mind, completely beats having to wake up at like 4 a.m. to watch Chelsea crap the bed against Brighton.
No,
you know,
question.
You know what I mean? Like, like, this is what being a sports fan in a non-geographically convenient place is like, yeah, around the world. But secondly, the idea of the one I don't get more than anything are people not liking 7:30 local games independent of everything else. Everything in a city takes place at 7:30 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
You go to not a Broadway show, but a show at the Pantages, it's at 8 o'clock. You go to a concert at Hollywood Bowl, it's at 8 o'clock. If you go to the movies, you have a date with, and you're going to go to the movies, you're probably going to watch a movie at like 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? The Dodgers are playing tomorrow night at 7:30, 7 o'clock, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, the Lakers have LeBron James, and they play at 7 o'clock locally. Like, this is what sports is. I just pulled it up. Next week's schedule, Ohio State and Notre Dame. You can make the argument that those are the two biggest college football brands in the world. They are playing at 7:30 local time.
Yeah, because so that's you know prime what I mean? Time. Like,
what are we doing here?
Why are USC fans so resistant to Pacific primetime? Embrace Pacific primetime.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, and I you know sort of alluded to it earlier, the 7:30 games are going to be more valuable because the Pac-12 is not going to exist. There's less clutter. The games that. You know, you and I were watching the Oregon-Texas Tech game as it led into the SC game the other night. That game was on the same time as Alabama-Texas. Mm-hmm. There's like 40 other games at the same time. You get to 7:30, you're the star of the show, baby.
Honestly, I think that really
especially
helps.
Especially if you're on Big Fox. Like,
I think that
everyone in the country is watching.
Now, and that helped USC this week.
Probably because, did, especially the way that they blew the game out early.
The way that USC started that game against Stanford as dominantly as USC did, East Coast viewers didn't have to stay up to watch that whole game. Their memory was of Caleb Williams being incredible in USC's offense being crazy good, and USC's defense coming to play in that game too early in the opening quarter. Like, I think that helped USC playing at 7:30.
Yeah, so
more people watched that than they would have otherwise.
Right, especially when it's on
Big
Fox.
The complaints about the Pac-12 network are completely founded.
Yes,
moving to the Big Ten network is a much better deal.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else, like,
By the way, best time zone for sports: the Mountain time zone. Mountain time zone is A+. But the Pacific, right after that. Artist formerly known as Jabroni Jabber Brody says, I love 7:30 kickoffs. It's 8:30 my time. There you go. See what I'm talking about? The Mountain time. My kids are in bed and I can focus on the game. There you go. Perfect. Yeah. Chalison says, people complain about getting to the stadium for 7:30 games and that they can't tailgate. See, I view a 7:30 game as like you have a whole day to tailgate. Yeah. Like, I know the lots only open at a certain time and that the Coliseum, the campus has been weird about like the times that they like sort of let people start things. You can start somewhere else. You can, you know, there's still time. There's plenty of time. So, all right. Enough about that. Let's get to talking about USC and Stanford. Of course, the Trojans with a big 56-10 victory over the Stanford Cardinal on Saturday nights. A lot of things to talk here. I sort of want to. You had your long rant about kickoffs. I just want to throw a lot of stats at you if you don't mind.
Let's do it.
So not only was it a game in which SC scored 49 points in the first half, which I said after the game that I was pretty sure that was the most the Trojans had scored since the Notre Dame comeback game in 1974. USC confirmed that, by the way. So it was also the 46-point margin of victory was USC's largest over Stanford since 1977. The 56 points SC scored against the Cardinal were the most in the history of the series. Which dates back to, 1905 or something like that.
Can we talk about, too, like, USC was a touchdown away from that at halftime.
Yes.
A disappointing half from USC's backups still got USC the all-time record for scoring in this series. Incredible.
Yeah. Wild. Absolutely wild. USC's first half, not 49 first half points, the most points in the half since the Trojans scored 49 in the second half against Notre Dame. The 46-point halftime lead by USC is tied for the third largest lead at the break ever by a Pac-12 team in a conference game. 56-0 by Oregon over Colorado in 2012 is the most. Jesus Christ. 49-0 SC over Montana in 1931. And then 46-0 SC over Idaho in 1929. Yeah, remember back in the old PCC days, Montana and Idaho conference opponents before they went down to the FCS.
Mm-hmm.
What a time to be alive!
But conference realignment, man.
Yeah, geez, the TV networks back then, you know. But I want to talk, I did a whole bunch of, you know, stat research, and I want to talk about the offense. We know that SC scored 56 points, and 49 of it was in the first half and all that stuff. But how explosive is this offense? Well, I ran some numbers. SC is first in FBS in yards per play, 9.27 yards per play. How impressive is that? As it stands right now, this second, USC's 9.27 yards per play average is the fifth most for a college football team in the FBS in the opening month of a season since 2009. Opening month. So we use CFB stats for a lot of these stats. CFB stats has a split that is August and September games. It combines them into one, usually because there's games at the end of August, right? So if you combine that, the August-September opening month, since 2009, SC is fifth in yards per play. In three games, 9.27 yards per play. The number one team on that list of all time, well, since 2009, 2019 Oklahoma, 10.36 yards per play. Lincoln Riley's Oklahoma.
Lincoln Riley, that's all I'm saying. Like, the Lincoln Riley offense is just...
They did it in four games. 2015 and 2013 Baylor are on this list. They each did it in three games, just like the Trojans. 2011 Georgia Tech, the ultimate stunner, 9.41 yards per play in 2011. They did it in four games. But Alicia, here's the sort of kicker. Those four teams ahead of SC in that list, and obviously this can change. SC plays two more games. There's plenty of other schools that play a million games to go in September, so this can all change. We'll revisit this later. But SC is the only one of those top five teams not to have played an FCS team. Mind you, you're splitting hairs a little bit. Is Nevada really better than, like, Wofford or something like that? Maybe not. But the point is, SC is, the offense is at a historically explosive level. The Trojans are first in yards per play, second in the FBS in 10-plus yard gain rate. 33% of USC's plays this season have gained 10-plus yards. Only Washington at 35% is better. And Washington is really the only school that in a lot of these numbers match or best SC. It's SC and Washington, the two best offenses in the country. SC is third in the percentage of plays that go for 20 yards, 13.8%. Again, Washington number one, 16.3. The Trojans are seventh in the percentage of plays that go 30 yards. And then you just look at the team ranks. SC is number one in the world right now in red zone rate, a perfect 100%. The Trojans are number one in 10-plus yard plays total. Mind you, this is going to be the case. They've played an extra game. Mm-hmm. But Notre Dame has also played three games. Then SC has 13 more 10-plus yard gains than the Irish. SC has four 20-yard more gains than the Irish. And SC is also first with that, 26 of those. 12 30-yard pass plays, or sorry, 30-yard plays the Trojans have had, which is first in FBS. They've had seven 40-yard plays, which is tops in the FBS. The Trojans are sixth in available yards, gaining 73.8% of their available yards. They've had a three and out in each of the first half of each of the first three games. That's probably the only thing costing them there, but incredible. That's an incredible rate that SC is gaining 73.8% of their yards. USC is number one in the country in offensive points per drive, 5.04, and that is when it is adjusted for garbage time. They are number two, most importantly, in net points per drive, plus four. That might be the most impressive thing about all of this, because that includes the defense. It's the offensive points minus the defensive points equals the nets, and SC is plus 4 points per drive. Second in the country on that. And the Trojans are second in scoring, 59.3 points per game. Let's talk about the defense a little bit. 11th in tackles for loss per game. nine of those, nine TFLs a game. SC's not getting the quarterback much, but they're getting into the backfield and making negative plays, which is important. 20th in defensive points per game at 1.03. Sorry, defensive points per drive. 20th in the country at 1.03. Again, we've talked about it. The defense needs to be better. They need to, you put a top 25 defense with this team, they're going to the playoff. There you go. 20th in defensive points per drive. They still got a lot of ways to go, so they haven't played the elite offenses, but that's a big boost there. So 21st in defensive available yards. Some individual stats that's interesting. Alicia, who do you think leads SC in receiving yards right now?
My man, Taj Washington.
Yes.
He's got to.
He's 12th in the Pac-12 in receiving yards per game at 77.7. SC leads the world in everything, but like individual numbers. 12th. Max Williams is 12th in the Pac-12 in catches per game with 3.3, which just means that SC is just distributing the ball all over the place. It's wild. And then You look at the numbers from Caleb Williams himself. We talked about it before. How's he going to win the Heisman? He's going to win the Heisman by being more productive than he was last year, with his stats being better, that he had room to grow. We talked about that. Well, he's first in passer rating at 240.5. He's first in first half passer rating, 246.6. He's first in yards per attempt in the country at 12.5. He's the only one of the only few quarterbacks that have not thrown an interception thus far. He's first in passing touchdowns. He's tied for first in passing touchdowns per game with Michael Penix at 4. And he's fourth in completion rate at 78.6. All of those numbers better than last year. It's early. He's still got to play, good defenses. Notre Dame's still on the schedule. It's a good defense, but he's doing what he needs to do.
But that's what we said all last year, right?
Yeah.
That the scary thing was that Caleb was not as good as he could have been last year. And we're seeing him take that next step in efficiency that we expected, because we looked at past quarterbacks in their second year in a Lincoln Riley system, in their third year in a Lincoln Riley system, and how they just get much, much more efficient as they go along. We're seeing that all come to pass. Now, like you said, against the better defenses, we're going to have to see him carry through. We're going to have to see him maintain his composure, all that kind of stuff. But what have we seen from Caleb Williams to suggest that he's not going to be able to do that? At this point, you bet on him every time.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then 17, this might be the craziest one for me. 17 of Caleb Williams' 22 first quarter completions, first down. So yeah, things are moving well for SC on offense. Let's get to over under, because we got to run through these. We had a fun game of over under this weekend.
So you're going over.
I'm feeling bold. Give me that over.
I'll go under. I gotta take an under here. I got three unders to take.
I'm gonna do an under here.
All right, we went into it before the week. You had a 7-5 record. I was 6-6. I needed a big week. How was it gonna go? Oh, shoot. I screwed up. Alicia's first over-under was 0.5. Marshawn Lloyd, no blocky, no Rocky moments. I took the under. You got locked into the over. And it was under. It was under. It was zero.
I thought there was a no blocky, no Rocky candidate early in that game. But I agreed with you that if we went back and watched the extended highlights and that play was not included in the extended highlights from Matthew Love's ball, then it would be the under, and that play was not there. So, sadness.
Yeah.
That's not to say that he's not out there showing the same level of effort. It's just like USC was scoring too quickly.
It just wasn't a highlight reel play.
He didn't need to do that much blocking. He just got the ball and scored twice.
This is true. Let's go to my first over-under. And just if you're watching the graphics, just pretend that it's right, okay? Pretend that it's in order. Stanford, 95.5 yards for Ben Jurassic was the line that I set. You took the over, which locked me into the under. It was under. He had 73. He did get sort of close. 19 rushing yards, 54 receiving yards for their big tight end.
No, but USC needed to prove that they could keep a big tight end contained, and most of this was about making the quarterbacks uncomfortable, so we'll still see what happens when they play a quarterback who's a little bit more capable of withstanding mm-hmm. that, but good signs.
Yeah.
Defensively.
Let's go to the next one. Over under 4.5 Stanford third down conversions. I took the over. It was under, of course. Stanford was 4 of 13. So the line was good. It was right on the edge.
Right there.
Yeah. They struggled on offense.
USC did a very good job of making them not succeed on offense.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to my next one. I said over under 99.9 USC red zone rate. Would the Trojans be perfect again? Because the Trojans were 10 of 10 going into it. You, of course, took the under. You doubted
no,
this team.
No, I played the odds
you
and I lost.
You doubted them.
I played the odds and I lost. That's all it was. I played the odds.
You doubted them. The Trojans were perfect. 5 of 5 in the red zone, including scoring on the last drive of the game. They could have taken a knee at the end. The thing is,
like, with the second teamers in for the whole second half, how this didn't end up being under is mm-hmm. wild. The issue, they just never got into the red zone. All I needed was them to move the ball occasionally.
This is true. All right, let's go to the next one. Your last over under was 7.5 USC points to close out the first half, meaning USC scoring 7.5 over under 7.5 points in the last two drives of the quarter. They scored 14. I took that under. I doubted the Trojans, and they got the points. So you got the over there. Wait, didn't we switch it? We switched it, but it shouldn't count. It shouldn't count. I think we switched it. Did we switch it in the show last week?
We have to check the tape. Yeah, I don't remember. I know we switched something.
I think we did switch it, but we never changed the graphics.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Let's go to the very last over-under, which was over-under 3.5 Caleb Williams touchdowns. You took the under, I took the over, and it was over. He had 4 touchdowns, 3 of the passing variety, 1 the rushing variety, of course. He set the school record for 12 4-touchdown games all time. Passing Matt Barkley, and he did it in 30 fewer games. Pretty good.
I played the odds and lost big time. This is why I don't bet with, like, this is why I don't engage in gambling in general, because I play the odds and lose.
Yeah. I don't know what you were thinking. All right, weekly scoreboard. I went 4-2. You went 2-4.
I thought it was worse, honestly.
Because I think we did do that switch stuff, but we're not going to count it.
I think we did, but I'm not going to argue it unless you want to go check the tapes. So.
All right.
You made the graphics already. It's locked in.
Right.
It's too late to replay.
That's the important
part. Replay review.
Season standings. I have a 10-8 record. You are now 9-9. Let's go to the weekly leaders. Who went 6-0 this week? Nobody.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Caught. Nobody. Not a single person.
Slipping.
Big sad to Vince in South Dakota. Did not get that perfect record to go a third week. But who are the weekly leaders at 5-1? A bunch of people. Eric, Jensen, John, JB. Artist formerly known as Jabroni Jabber Brody, J Vandy, Double H and HB, Duet Madden, and Jordo all went a nice 5-1 record on the week. Our season leaders so far in first place, it is Vince in San Diego, 15-3. He is now tied with J Vandy, also at 15-3. And look who is in third place. Trinice from the West Side.
Hey!
14-4. 14-4 now. Those are good marks. Those are definitely good marks for Trinice there. Let's talk about our game predictions. The Vegas spread was the Trojans by 29.5. Of course, the Trojans won by 46. Bill Connolly's SP Plus projection was USC by 32.9 points, with a projected score of 45-13. You said SC would win 55-20. I said 49-21. It was 56-10. So you almost got SC's output, but you doubled Stanford. So neither of us were right on cue, but sort of the same ballpark. SC was just a little bit more dominant than I think anyone sort of expected. More cleanly dominant. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely dominant.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Let's go take a quick break and go to the mailbag, shall we?
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You've got mail.
All right, Alicia, let's go to the mailbag and start with a voicemail that we got from Tony.
Hi, Alicia. This is Tony from Denora, PA. Hey, that first half was just beautiful. The defense was just dominating. Offense was just clicking on all cylinders. Caleb handles that offense like Beethoven handling his symphony. Hey, just a masterful first half. I kind of lost my voice there. Right on.
I love it. I love it.
I couldn't agree with him more in that description of it's like watching somebody just direct a symphony and just,
yeah,
it's just beautiful music is produced.
He is so in control. And it is, we got a comment from SJ in the chat. Caleb looks better this year than last year, which is unbelievable. Yes. He literally looks like a grizzled NFL vet. He's in so much control. Which is incredible. Let's go to our voicemail we got from Trinice.
Hi, guys. Trinice from the West Side. I am so freaking pumped to be calling into the Rave Line. In fact, I don't think I've ever been this happy to call into the Rave Line in my entire freaking life of calling into the Rave Line. Because for the first time in forever, SC is legitimately banging out an opponent. This is so much freaking fun. I'm having the time of my life. It's 49-3 at the half, guys. 49-3. We get two more freaking quarters of this. This is the best day. So much freaking fun. Like, there's so many things to say about the talent of it, right? We got playmakers on playmakers on playmakers. Ballers on ballers on ballers. Tutties on tutties on tutties. Week in and week out. But it's fun, right? Like, there's other teams that shall remain nameless at this point that score all the time and they just ground opponents into the ground. But this offense is fun. They look like they're having such a great time out there. And as a fan, I freaking love to see it. It's great. I know. It's the first half of the season. Everybody thinks that SC is going to bang out all these opponents. And they probably will. But still, there is a joy that comes from having a coach that is not afraid to just run up the friggin' score. And like, I'm here for it. Run it up, Lincoln Riley. Run it up. Make them stop you. And if they can't stop you, then eventually it can be Miller time. But it don't need to be Miller time until we're up 60. Let's freaking go. Also, why are people still kicking the Zachariah Brandt? They just want the kid to have highlights? This is the best freaking time.
Good point.
I can't wait to see what the next half of the game looks like. Head on.
Thanks for the call, as always, Trinice. Yeah, I think you asked the big question. Why are they kicking the Zachariah Brandt? I don't know.
By all means, keep kicking the Zachariah Brandt. I mean, hey, it's like that line in Arrested Development. Where, you know, they're talking about like open marriages, open relationships, and he says, you know, people trick themselves into thinking that it might be something that could work for them, but everybody knows that it always just devolves into bad times, whatever, and then pause. But you know, it could work for us. Like, I want opposing teams to think that
way.
What
are you suggesting? God. All right. Let's go to our favorite new caller, Dan.
Hi, this is Dan from the Natural History Museum. Did we actually learn anything tonight? Take my answer off the air. Thank you. Bye.
Alicia, what did we learn from Saturday night's game?
that USC's offense is electric and wonderful, and USC's defense is playing with some fire and some swagger, and that these are the good times, baby. So let them roll and enjoy them while they're happening. That's my big thing, is like, we only get to watch this team with this quarterback for so long. Have as much fun as possible.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think we learned that SC is capable of having that killer instinct. Lincoln Riley was asked about it, and that's what's stopping people from getting to their ceiling. Looked like SC had it on Saturday. Yeah, you can say the second half, but like, the fact that SC just continued to throttle in the first half until they took out Caleb Williams says everything. Let's go to our next call from L.A. Fred.
Hey, Arena Troy, this is L.A. Fred calling. I think most of us thought and figured USC was going to win on Saturday night, but how many of us could realistically foresee the Trojans just putting a blowtorch like death to Stanford? And even well before the 49-3 halftime lead even became a thing. For those of you that are out there that are too young or just don't know, let old Uncle Fred give you a quick history lesson. USC and Stanford used to be a very, very competitive rivalry. I'd even argue that it's the third most important rivalry behind only Notre Dame and UCLA. In the last 35 years of this rivalry, the record stands at USC with a slight advantage of only 19-16. How many schools are there out there that can say they've been that competitive with the Trojans over that length of time? And oftentimes when they played, both teams were right. So while it is sad to see this rivalry come to a close, at least for the foreseeable future, there's one thing I think we should all be giving thanks for, and that's not having to watch the most brutal mascot in all of sports, that stupid, stupid tree, anymore. Have a good week. Fight on, everybody.
Fred, I'm sorry. I have to tell you. I love the tree. Mm. I love it. It's weird. It's quirky. It's fun. It's what's great about college football. I love it.
I mean, this is true. It is what's great about college football, but I also hate it. That's fine.
Yeah, but absolutely to everything that that Fred said. Great call. Let's go to Cameron in Frisco, Texas.
Hey, Rainer Troy. It's Cameron from Frisco, Texas. So excited for this game because it was the final matchup of the Trojans of Southern California one last time to deforest the Stanford Cardinal. And, man, did the Trojans deforest that farm. Holy cow, that was one of the greatest halves I have ever seen of USC football in my life. We saw freaking Adoree Jackson return a punt return for a touchdown. Like, are you serious? Oh, wait. No, that wasn't Adoree Jackson. That was Adoree Jackson 2.0, Zachariah Branch, taking it to the house and getting a little bit of a shout-out that night from the legendary Tyreek Hill that Tyreek Hill saying verbatim that Zachariah Branch might be faster than he is. So you know what? Zachariah Branch, keep balling out, and maybe eventually you'll become a Heisman Trophy winner just like Caleb Williams. But holy cow, what an incredible game. Dominating 49-3 at halftime. Let's just keep this up. Let's enjoy the bye week. Get to relax. Maybe watch some mediocre to some bad football. But hey, we're going to get ready for our 9-0 stretch. And let's go kick some trash, baby. Fight on. Let's beat the Sun Devils.
What do you think, Alicia? Zachariah Branch for Heisman?
Hey, if he keeps returning kicks, if they keep kicking to him and he keeps returning them and he keeps catching touchdown passes, I mean, why not? The hard part is going to be beating Caleb Williams in that argument, but Caleb already has one, so maybe he'll get the spread the wealth kind of love.
Aside from like any sort of injury, and knock on wood that doesn't happen, but like aside from that part, what would it have to take for like the SCSID department to be like, we need to start devoting our marketing dollars to Zachariah Branch for the Heisman? Like how would what happens there? Do you just do both of them? I think
my guess would be that Caleb is all about Zachariah winning it.
Maybe Caleb's like, don't vote for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Let's go to a message we got from Eddie over on YouTube after the CarCast. My goodness, out of the first 30 minutes of the CarCast, it goes negative really quickly. I wanted to address this because we get comments like this all the time about how negative we are. We also get comments all the time that we are overly positive. We've been called Debbie Downers. We've been called fanboys. I think this is the reality of, like, maybe we are just medium on most things. I don't know if I speak for you, Alicia, too much, but, like, I think we were both very high on this SC team, right? I don't think that we were being overly negative the other night. We also are beholden to, like, questions that we get asked. There were a lot of questions about Miller Moss. Not all of them were, you know, raving about the second half performance, right? But, like, sometimes that's all there is to talk about when SC is so dominant in good areas. And you can talk about those things as well. Like, I don't know. I don't think we're negative. I think that we are middle of the road. And we are always going to, if you have a negative outlook on the team, we're going to be looked at as being too positive. And if you have a super strong positive outlook on the team, we're going to be looked at as negative. And that's always how it's been. That's how it's been for 10 years.
Our motto, I think I can speak for both of us, is things are never as bad as they seem or as good as they seem. And
sure,
we like to...
But that first half was as... good as it
I mean that seem. First half was as good as it could possibly seem.
Yeah,
and it was definitely that, but I think we try to be realistic about all things, and I am comfortable with feeling like I am realistic about all things. We've gotten a lot of, I think, some snarky comments about how, like, y'all were really mad about the defense in week zero, and it's like, yeah, they gave up.
We were literally getting phone calls to fire Alex Grinch.
They gave up 28 points to San Jose State.
Right.
We were reacting to what we saw in front of us, and we continue to react to what we see in front of us, and we're going to keep doing that. All I can promise you guys is we're going to be honest about how we feel about the team.
The other thing is, you know, I saw there was a comment about, like, you know, after everything that you said from week one about the defense or whatever, the first game about the defense. And I think we have always, at least I have always said that I am, like, I can, you know, have my reservations about something, but if I'm so eager to be proven wrong about anything positively or negatively, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when the defense, you know, proves me wrong, I'm going to be the first person to say it.
I want this defense to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I want this defense to be good. I want to believe in the defense. I'm not going to give blind faith to the defense because they did a good job against a really bad Stanford team. I'm also going to be honest that that's a really bad Stanford team. You know, that's just where we're at.
Yeah. Artist formerly known as Jabroni Jabber Brody. If you're being called too positive and too negative, you're probably right where you should be.
Exactly.
I hope that's the case. Yeah, I hope that's the case. Let's go to an email, another YouTube comment that we got after the CarCast that said, why no Malachi in garbage time? Miller is serviceable as a backup only. Malachi needs to get reps for the future. I think this is a valuable question. We saw Malachi Nelson get involved in week zero against San Jose State. Did not play Saturday night against Stanford. What are your thoughts there?
My first thought is keeping the red shirt situation.
You get four games, though.
Yeah. I maybe they think that the development of Miller Moss as the backup is a more important thing to do.
Yeah.
If there was an injury, we wouldn't know about it. So maybe that's something that's...
Yeah.
And I say that having zero idea if that's the case, like, just some speculation that of why we wouldn't see a player. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I think it would be nice to have one get a quarter and the other one get a quarter. But I also think that there is benefit of, like, going all in on Miller Moss. And maybe if there's a next time, maybe you go all in on Malachi Nelson too. Like, I don't know. Yeah, they both need the time. That's the problem. Either way you distribute the time, the other one's not going to be getting some. So that's the problem. West Texas Mike, we're going off of comments that we gotten tonight in the chat. We're going to rapid fire these. West Texas Mike says, is the connection in the Only Connect episode on Wednesday night going to be Bob Connolly? It might be. It might be. Stay tuned.
Well, now you've given me an idea.
Shoot. I might have to redo the answers now. Buddy on MC says, Michael, where do you buy your hats? It's usually like the New Era store. Lids? I don't know.
He's got some minor league baseball ones that I've ordered for him from the minor league baseball store. So
Milb.com.
Yeah.
Randy says, when the playoff committee looks at strength of schedule, do they look at where the opponents were ranked at the time that they played them or at the end of the season? It's both. And it should be both, because I think the context matters. There are people who say that it should only be at the time that they played, and there are people that say it should only be at the time that, what they are at the end of the season. I think it should be more prevalent to what they are at the end of the season, because that's when you know more. But I think the context also matters too, and I've used this as an example a million times over the years, and you might be annoyed at me mentioning this again, but Oregon, 2007. They were the best team in the country for most of the season. Dennis Dixon gets hurt. They were still a ranked team and got blown out at UCLA. I think they lost 16-0. It sounds like not really a blowout, but it was a blowout. That was the worst ranked team I've ever seen in my life play football. So if you look at it and say, oh, UCLA got a win over a ranked team. Yeah, but that was... Oregon without Dennis Dixon.
Yeah, it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. Like, you need to have context of, like, when these things happen. It should be both, but both of them do get counted separately. It's all there, yes. Raymond Murray says, has Alex Grinch figured out that you don't have to blitz every down and can trust your front seven? I think Bear Alexander being so good, it certainly helps. They don't have to blitz if he's going to shoot up the A gap and force picks.
If there's one lesson I hope he learned, it's that. I'm going to be honest with you.
Uh-oh.
I don't think so yet. I need to see that against a legitimate offense that is actually having success taking advantage of USC's aggression.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even an in-game adjustment to that.
Yeah.
In order to completely say that that's the case. I think it's just way too early.
It helps that SC's last two games, in which the defense has looked pretty good, are against the two worst quarterbacks they'll face all year. The three, I guess, because Stanford had went to the backup quarterback in Lamson. So I think that helps. But yes, we need to see more. We need to see more. We need to see what they do at ASU and Colorado these next 2 weeks. Glenn says, after seeing 2 to 3 weeks worth of games, are you thinking differently on who the greatest threat is to USC's perfect season? What do you think? I don't know, because
you and I both predicted
the loss to
Notre Dame,
and that is that prediction is aging well, in the sense that Notre Dame looks pretty damn good. So I think less of that.
Yeah.
Even though I like what USC has done, I don't think less of, like, how daunting that road game is. I do think that Colorado looks, you know, like a game you should absolutely be concerned about. But at the same time, I don't know that Colorado has a defense that can stop SC either. So.
Yeah, I'm sort of still where I'm at. Yeah. I'm still at where I was at.
It also helps, though, that, like, Washington's offense is not quite as good as SC, I don't think, but, like, their production is. They're getting the same level of production, and that means that they are absolutely going to be capable of beating SC, just like Notre Dame. So, but we'll see. We will see. SC is going to be favored in every game, probably, from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
Dave says, over under 3.5 shanked punts for the rest of the season because teams are afraid to kick the branch. Is it a shanked punt if it's dangled away?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know, but I'm going to say over. What if SC starts bringing the house? Because they're like, they're not going to punt to him. Maybe we'll just bring the house instead. Force a block.
It's a good thing that USC brought in a all Pac-12 punter then, because you think he can have the composure to deal with that.
He's not punting to SC. You're confused.
Oh, you mean USC starts going? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then, yeah, then a lot of block kicks, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know a lot, but we'll see. artist formerly known as Jabroni Jabber Brody says, is Bear a good name for a child asking for a friend? I think so. First of all, I
have a family friend who named their child Bear.
I think it's one of the... There was a TikTok that went viral months ago about, like, what's a word that you think that, if you didn't know what it meant, could be the name, like, a good name of a child? I think Bear is one of those ones, like, independently, it sounds good.
I was skeptical of it, to be honest, when my family friend named her...
It's also Bear Bryant.
Named her son Bear. But Bear was a nickname, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
So she named her son Bear, and I was like, that's interesting. And then Bear Alexander came around, and now I've sort of just gotten used to, like, seeing the videos and pictures mm-hmm. of Bear, and I'm like, no, it's just Bear. I dig it. It's fine.
Yeah. I will say, can we not call him the Bear? Yeah. I do not like that. Tim Brando kept saying it over and over again. The Bear, the Bear, the Bear. His name is Bear. You don't need to try that hard. It doesn't need to be the Bear. You don't need to do the Mickey Mantle thing and just call him the Mick. Just call him Mick. Just call Bear Alexander Bear. Like Reggie Bush didn't have a nickname because Reggie was cool enough. Like mm-hmm. Reggie being short for Reginald is cool enough. Bear is cool enough. It doesn't have to be overthought to be the Bear just because of the TV show. I love the TV show too. It doesn't need to be the Bear, you know? Or you call him Grizz or something like that.
No, just call him Bear.
Bear. I mean, Bear is good enough. It's like Cadillac Williams. It's just ride Cadillac. With the Cadillac.
Yeah.
Cameron says, any thoughts on week one of the NFL season? Alicia, I know what you're going to say, and this is why, if you... have noticed we've been moving quickly. This is why.
I'm sorry for being just slightly distracted because the biggest story in the NFL this year got injured on like the first damn drive of Monday Night Football. Yeah.
When I'm inside baseball, we record in the middle of Alicia's of my work shift.
And I cover the NFL. And it's going down, guys. I'm trying to multitask.
I got a message like 20 minutes into the episode. Oh my God, we have to hurry. Aaron Rodgers just got hurt. I'm like, oh shoot. Okay, here we go. We made it though.
No. It's been good. It's been good, and I've been as attentive as possible while also putting out fires on the side. But aside from that happening, The big thing is that the NFL is always fun. The NFL has exciting games on Sunday. Watching NFL Red Zone is always really makes the whole thing even click further. Sunday Night Football was funny watching the Cowboys take down the Giants like that. But it doesn't hold a candle to college football. It just doesn't. Like, anyone who says otherwise is lying. That's where I'm at on the NFL. The NFL's good. College football is great.
Yeah, it is. It is the best. All I know is the Jags 1-0, baby. 1-0. Also, big shout out to there were comments on the hat, but really big shout out to Kenny and your D-backs for taking 3-4 from the Cubs. That's why I'm wearing the D-backs hat.
Michael may have lost a
But I'm happy my Jags are undefeated. That's the important part. So anyways, we're gonna wrap up there. Thanks for the engagement here on the old YouTubes. Everyone joining us. We appreciate it. You guys are the best. We appreciate you all. No full episode on Wednesday, but it's a members only show, so now's the perfect time. You want us in your life on Wednesday? Come join the Rot Squad. $4.99 a month. Join the membership here on YouTube. Get access to the Discord, and you get to watch our game show on Wednesday night. and it'll be super fun. Also get access to all the old members-only content from, like, the off-season and stuff, which will be fun as well. So that'll be us until Wednesday. Until then, we will see ya. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.